นะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะ
มุตมะเถระโยติละ
Today, we will continue our mantra on practical exercise of Vipassana meditation. Yesterday, I told you to systematically practice walking meditation by being aware of each individual movement of the foot, lifting movement, pushing movement, dropping movement, touching and pressing. If you are able to observe these movements very well, precisely and concentratedly, then you should observe, you should note intention before every movement. There's an intention before each movement of the foot. Before lifting, there's intention. Before pushing, there's intention. Before dropping, there's intention. But before touching, there's no intention. Because when you drop the foot, whether you have intention to touch the floor or not, it touches naturally. So you need not note intention. Touching, but before pressing, there's intention. So if you are able to note the intention, mental state, we call it a nama. In Pali, physical phenomenon is called rupa in Pali. Mentality is called nama. Physicality is called rupa.Any mental state, any mental process, mental process is called nama. Any physical process or physical phenomena is called rupa. So, intention is a mental state, nama. It causes the foot to lift.In the same way, it's the intention that causes the foot to push it forward. It's the intention that drops the foot down. It's the intention that causes the foot being pressed.In this way, there are intentions before every movement of the foot. Not only before every movement of the foot, but before every action and movement of a physical phenomena, there are intentions. because of these intentions, the hand is lifted. Because of this intention, the fin, the hands are put down. The intention causes the hand to stretch out. The intention causes the hand to bend. In this way, there's intention to do any actions or movements. So before any actions or movements, if you are able to find the intention, you note it. For instance, when you want to get up from the seat, you intend to get up. There's intention. So you can note intending, then getting up. When you are about to sit down, you intend to do that. That intention must be noted. Intention, and then sitting down. When you bring the food to the mouth, there's the intention to bring it to. Note intending, then bring him to the mouth. When the fruit is approaching the mouth, then you are about to open the mouth. You intend to open it. So you note intending, then opening. When the food is in the mouth, you want to chew it. You intend to chew. Then note intending, chewing. When chewing is enough, you want to swallow it. There also you intend to swallow it. Note intending, then swallowing, and so on. Before every action, there's an intention. Before every movement, there's an intention. If you find it, you note intention or intending. If you do not find it, you need not note it. If you slow down all actions and movements, you can find this intending easily. Then you note the intending, and so on. When you are accustomed to note the intention and the action that follows it, when concentration is good enough, you come to realize how the intention is related to the action. That realization, that insight into the relationship between intention and the action is insight knowledge. The second stage of insight knowledge. So you can experience it, observing the intention and being concentrated on it very well. So try to note intention when you find it. When you do not find it, you need not note it. But you need not look for it. You need not find it out. And naturally, if the intending comes up and if you realize it, you note it. Intending, lifting, intending, pushing, intending, dropping, so. To discover this intention, you have to slow down more and more for the change movement. Here, whenever we are aware of any mental state or physical process, we use labeling or mental note, which helps the mind to focus the object very precisely and closely. So you should try to note, to make a mental note of every object as it really occurs. When the abdomen rises, then you note rising. When abdomen falls, you note falling. When you feel painful sensations, you should note pain. Observing actual feeling of the pain and noting pain. When you lick the food, you should be aware of the actual movement of the food, making mental note as lifting. When you find your intention, see when the actual intention and note it as intending, then lifting, then intending, lifting, and so on. So you should train yourself to label or to note as the object arises, noting mental note or labeling is not very much important, but in the beginning of the practice, the noting helps the mind to focus on the object very precisely, closely, attentively. Some of the meditators are not accustomed to note, to make a mental note. They are just aware of the object as it is, without noting, without living. When they begin to train themselves to note every object, they find it difficult to be aware of the object because of a noting. The mind goes with the noting. It doesn't go to the object, find it difficult, but later on they are skilled in awareness of the object and labeling it, noting it. When they find the awareness accompanied by noting or labeling becomes sharp and deep into the object, then their concentration becomes deeper and deeper with the help of labeling or noting. Then meditators should try being aware of any object of a mental state or physical process with noting and without noting. Then he will find the difference between with and without noting, labeling, which is more effective in attaining concentration as well as in insight. Right. So first of all, you should note it, but when sometimes the objects are very swift. When the concentration is good enough, you see the object, mental or physical process, very swiftly arising and passing away one after another. The appearance and the disappearance of the object phenomena is so swift that your mind cannot note it, you cannot catch it. In that case, you need not note, you need not label it. Just be aware of what is happening to your body or mind as it is. When you have the higher experience meditation, say at the stage of the dissolution or at the stage of equanimity, you may drop labeling or noting, because you can be aware of, you can observe the object very attentively without noting or labeling, because you get accustomed to do that. There are 13 stages of inside knowledge, which are mundane. There are 4 stages of enlightenment, which are super mundane. So, in the state of mundane knowledge, you have to go through all these 13 stages of inside knowledge, one after another, when your concentration is deep enough. After you have gone through all the 13 stages of inside knowledge, you attain enlightenment, the first, the second, the third, and the fourth stage of enlightenment, one after another. So after each enlightenment, there's a knowledge which is called review knowledge. So, and altogether, 13 stages of insight knowledge, and say 4 stages of enlightenment, and 1 review knowledge. After you have attained the final stage of enlightenment, you have removed or you have uprooted all negative mental states, mental defilement, which are the causes of suffering. So when this mental defilement has been completely eliminated by the final stage of enlightenment, there is no suffering, either mental or physical, at all. So suffering ceases to exist here. So here it means that you have attained the cessation of the suffering. Vipassana meditation aims at this cessation of complete cessation of suffering. But it's not difficult to attain the final stages of enlightenment. Though we are not able to attain the final stage of enlightenment. If we attain some stages of insight knowledge, we can remove some aspects of mental defilement or some factors of a negative mental state, which are so what we should teach, should keep in our mind when we practice this Vipassana meditation, mindfulness meditation. Here, in this Vipassana meditation, the most important thing is to be aware of thoughts, ideas, opinions, mental images, or any kind of a mental state or emotional state without failure. If any meditator fails to observe, to be mindful of these mental states and emotional states, he can't have a deep concentration. His mind won't be concentrated very well, because when these distracting thoughts, dissipating thoughts are not observed, they are all the time arising and keeps going on. When it keeps going on, then the mind can't be concentrated on any object of meditation. So these distracting thoughts, dissipating thoughts, distracted thoughts can be checked by awareness or mindfulness, which must be strong enough, attentive enough. So whenever you have thoughts, ideas, opinions, mental images, you should observe it, you should note it as wandering, thinking, imagining, seeing, and so on, until these thoughts have disappeared. After they have disappeared, you return to the primary object. By noting thoughts process means that to check them, not to keep going, but actually the real purpose of noting the thought is to rightly understand the true nature of these thought processes as they really are. When you note these thoughts, you realize them. At the same time, you check it, not to go further and stop in a short time. So you should have to note thinking, wondering, imagining, attentively, energetically, and somewhat quickly. Then it will stop in a short time. Do not bring the mind back to the object when it goes out to wander. It's not the way of a vipassana or mindfulness meditation. It's a way of a concentration. When another vipassana meditator can concentrate the mind on any mental state or physical process very well, he feels calm, tranquil, sitting for some moments, or to a certain extent. With the when the concentration becomes deeper, there arises the insight that penetrates into the true nature of bodily and mental phenomena. When samatha meditator can concentrate his mind on a single object of meditation very well, he also feels calm, quiet, serene, tranquil, because there's no agitating mind, mental state in the mind. The mind is free of all defilements, hindrances at that moment. Though the true meditators feel quiet, calm, tranquil, serene when their mind is concentrated on each object of meditation, but there is a difference between the two types of meditation. When samatha meditator enjoys calmness, serenity, tranquility, when the mind is well concentrated on the object of meditation, but the calmness, serenity, or tranquility last temporarily. So when the concentration becomes a broken, when meditative practice is disengaged from the object, the concentration becomes a broken. At that time, because the mind is not concentrated on the object, one or the other of mental defilements or hindrances comes into the mind. Greed may come into the mind, lust may come into the mind, desire may come into the mind, anger or hatred may come into the mind, and this way the mind becomes defiled with these undesirable negative mental states, and then meditator cannot enjoy calmness, tranquility, and so on. But for vipassana meditator, when his mind is well concentrated on any mental state or physical process, if the concentration is deep enough, there arises an insight knowledge together with that concentrated mind. And that insight knowledge penetrates the true nature of mental state or physical process which is observed. It rightly understands it in its true nature. So at that moment, there arises concentration and insight together, not only concentration, but also insight arises in this mind and rightly understand any mental or physical phenomenon in their true nature. So there is no mental defilement at that moment. Mental defilements are removed at that moment, partially, we call it. partial removal of mental defilement by concentration as well as the insight. The insight removes the mental defilement because it penetrates into the true nature of a bodily and mental phenomena. Rightly understand it. So it removes mental defilement which may arise if the penetrating insight doesn't rightly understand that mental state or physical process. The right understanding of the insight removes mental defilement, but the concentration removes the mental defilement because the mind is concentrated on the object. So when the mind is free from all of these mental defilements, meditator feels happy, quiet, tranquil, and serene. For Vipassana meditator, if he experiences it very clearly, that experience does not totally disappear. But when his mind is disengaged from the object, or the mind shifts to the other object, he doesn't experience it. Or if he doesn't observe the object, then he doesn't experience it. But later, if he recollects that experience of an insight that penetrates into the true nature of a bodhinam process, it comes up in his mind as if he is experiencing it now. At that time also, there's no mental defilement in his mind. The mind is free from mental defilement. Then he enjoined the tranquility, calmness, peace, and happiness. Samatha meditator cannot gain such a benefit after his mind is disengaged from meditative practice. So this is also the difference between samatha and vipassana meditation. So even though you are unable to attain any stage of enlightenment, if you are able to experience some stages of inside knowledge, that experience does not totally disappear. Whenever you recollect it, you have it in your mind as if you are experiencing it now. So you feel the tranquil, happy, peaceful, and so on. That is the benefit of Vipassana meditation. But as I explained to you yesterday, meditators must be endowed with the five mental faculties: strong and fine faith, and the triple gem, especially in the technique of meditation; strenuous effort together with perseverance, and constant and sustained mindfulness, deep concentration, and clear and penetrating insight into phenomena. These are the five mental faculties of which a meditator must be possessed of. These faculties must be strong and balanced. Then you can make a progress in your meditative practice. Here, only when you believe that the techniques will give you the remarkable benefit out of this meditation, then you will try your best. You will put your strenuous effort in the practice. Only your effort is strong enough, you are able to be mindful of each and every mental state or physical process arising at the moment. Then, especially being aware of, being mindful of all actions and movements, I mean the daily activity. All actions and movements involved in eating and taking bath and dressing, undressing and walking. And the unfailing color of nature and so on. Then your mindfulness becomes a continuous, constant and sustained. Then it's very sharp, keen and powerful. The constant and continuous mindfulness is the cause of the deep concentration. When the mindfulness becomes continuous and constant, the mind is well and deeply concentrated on each mental state or physical process of which it is observed. When you get deep concentration, the deep concentration is the cause of a clear and penetrating insight into phenomena, mental or physical phenomena. So when concentration becomes deep, there arises the insight that penetrates into true nature of a mental and physical phenomena as they really are. We call it insight knowledge, vipassana jnana. Then, when we realize, rightly understand the true nature of bodily and mental phenomena, we realize it in two aspects. One is the aspect of specific characteristics of a body mind process, or individual characteristics of a body mind process. The other is general or common characteristics of a body mind process. When our mind is deeply concentrated on any mental state or physical process, then the mind is purified of all hindrances and defilements, because the mind is purified, the inside that arises it together with the purified mind or concentrated mind becomes a penetrating shot. Then that insight realizes either specific or individual characteristics or general or common characteristics of bodily and mental phenomena. Every mental state has its own characteristics which are called specific or individual. Every physical unit, material unit has its own characteristics which are called specific or common, individual characteristics. And also, every mental state and physical process has three characteristics in common. Because every mental state is ever-changing, it arises and passes away, so it's impermanent. In the same way, every physical process also arises and then very instantly passes away. So they are also impermanent. In this way, these characteristics of impermanence, transience, belongs to all mental states and physical phenomena. So this impermanence is called common characteristics, general characteristics. Not only the characteristics of impermanence, but also the characteristics of suffering, dukkha, impersonal nature, anatta, also belongs to all mental states and physical process. So all these three characteristics of impermanent suffering or unsatisfactoriness and impersonal nature are called general characteristics or common characteristics. Without deep concentration, the insight cannot be penetrating. Then it can realize these three characteristics. Only when the insight becomes penetrating with the help of a deep concentration, it can penetrate and experience these three characteristics, general or common characteristics. But before the insight realizes or rightly understands these general or common characteristics, it realizes specific or individual characteristics of any mental states or physical process of which is observed. So I want to briefly explain to you the specific or individual characteristic of some material unit and mental states in accordance with the Buddhist Abhidhamma. The philosophy. So-called this body is composed of mainly the four material elements. But in a discourse that the Buddha said, this is so called a problem. It's a composed of cha dhatu. Cha means the six, dhatu means the elements. Composed of the six elements. The four material elements and one mental element. And one we call, what we call the space, element of the space. So, so-called mind is referred to as the element of a mentality, mental element, one mental element. But there are the four material elements. When these four material elements are combined together, there is space among them or between them. That space is called element of a space, Parichida Rupa in Pali. So, what are the four material elements? They are earth, water, fire, and wind or air. We call it a Patavi Dhatu, earth element, Ava Dhatu, water element, Tejo Dhatu, fire element, Vayu Dhatu, wind or air element. Each of these four elements has its own specific and general individual characteristics. If we say earth element, it's the name which is given to the characteristics of hardness and softness. So when we say earth element, it refers to the nature of hardness and softness. We find this hardness and softness in our body when we observe any part of the body, any process of bodily phenomena. Then, the specific characteristics of water element is fluidity and cohesion. This fluidity and cohesion is all the time in our body. When we our concentration is good enough, and our vipassana meditation or mindfulness meditation, we realize that this fluidity or cohesion. The specific characteristic of fire element, better to say temperature, is heat, cold and warm. They are the specific characteristic of fire element. We are also able to experience heat or cold or warmth when our mind is concentrated on any physical phenomena in our meditation. Then the last one, Vayu Dhatu, wind or air element, has the specific characteristics of movement, motion, vibration, supporting. So, most of the time in the world, either in retreat or outside retreat, we have to deal with this last element, movement, motion, vibration, and supporting. It leads all the world to be continuous. When we practice Vipassana meditation, mindfulness meditation, by being mindful of whatever arises in our body and mind, most of the time we have to observe the characteristic of movement, motion, vibrating, supporting, the element of wind or air. When we focus our mind on the abdominal movement, then we experience it as rising movement and falling movement. Sometimes we experience the movement gradually rising, the movement gradually falling. So this rising process, falling process, is just movement, motion. Sometimes it has the nature of a supporting too. So the purpose of observing rising and falling movement of the abdomen is to realize and to rightly understand the specific characteristics of this wind or air element and generate a common characteristic of it. When we realize the movement of the abdomen as a just natural process of movement, when our concentration is deep enough, we penetrate into it and experience it as natural process of movement, one movement after another. The same way the falling, we realize that these are just the movement of the process of a movement. Then, because we rightly understand this abdominal movement is a natural process of rising and falling movements, we don't identify these movements with a person, with a being, with a man or with a woman. Why? Because we rightly understand these are just natural movement, the process of a natural movement. So they are neither a person nor a man nor a woman. Through our personal experience of natural process of movement, so this insight into the specific characteristics of this wind or air element gradually becomes deeper and deeper, profound and more profound. Then whenever we think about this rising and falling movement of the abdomen, what we see is just natural process of rising and falling movement, that's all. So they are neither a person nor a being, nor man or nor woman. This right understanding of the specific or individual characteristic of a wind or air element purify our mind from round view of a person or being, and purify our mind from lust, greed, hatred, anger, and so on. Because these mental defilements, which are the causes of such suffering, arise depending on the idea of a person, a being, a self, or a soul, a man or a woman. Now, meditator, through his own personal experience, rightly understand these movements are just a natural process. So he doesn't identify this natural process of movement with a person or being, self or soul. He doesn't take them to be a person, a being, a man or a woman, a self or a soul. So there doesn't arise any mental defilements dependent on this right understanding of specific characteristic of a wind or air element. In this way, the mind becomes gradually purified from undesirable negative mental states, tension, fear, despair, distress, insecurity, and so on. Then meditator can live in peace and happiness to a certain extent. That is the benefit of the meditative experience and vipassana meditation, mindfulness meditation. But the higher experience you have, the more purified your mind becomes. The more purified your mind becomes, the more peaceful and happier life you lead. May all of you rightly understand this aspect of the benefit of vipassana meditation and strive your best and attain your goal.